Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the freedom you've given us. And I pray you bless us tonight. I pray you challenge us. I pray that you would really change people's lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. Every now and then I have a conversation, very seldom, often, I have conversations with people like Vadim, people who are in ministry, whether they're senior pastors, associate pastors, whatever, whatever. And we'll talk about ministry, blah, 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 blah. And I'll, you know, we'll always come up, how your ministry's doing. And often people will say, the ministry's doing really good. And then I'll say, how do you know? And they'll say, well, you know, people are getting saved. People are happy. They're walking in the spirit. Vague stuff. Not that that stuff's not important, but it's vague. You can't measure. They haven't measured it. So I'll say, how do you know it's growing? How do you know it's effective? And they really, not all, but a lot of times they really don't have any concrete evidence that it's really growing. It's just their perception. Now, their perception could be true, but not necessarily. A lot of times we have perceptions about how things are going in our life, how our relationships are going, how we're doing in school, blah, 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 blah. But we really don't have any concrete evidence that it's going that well. Therefore, we really don't know. Some of y'all have relationships. As a matter of fact, how many of y'all are married in here? Raise your hand. Okay? For very few of y'all. Well, the ones who are married, and when you do get married, if you talk to married couples who've been married 5, 10, 15 years, and you ask the husband how the marriage is going, the husband might say, it's going fine. Ask the wife will say. Because a lot of times, wives have just accepted that their husband's the way he is and he's not going to change. But they don't necessarily like it. And they just deal with it. A lot of marriages are like that. But if you really get down to it, it's not what you think. The reason I say this is because if I was to ask all of you, how's your relationship with God doing? And if you were to die today, would God say, well done and good and faithful servant? Some of you might say, I think, I hope, yes. But you need to be able to say yes. And you need to know how and why you should be able to say yes. You shouldn't be vague about it. And we're going to talk about one specific thing you need to be doing to make sure. Matter of fact, one thing that if you're not doing, I'm going to tell you, he's not going to tell you, well done, good and faithful servant. And that is serving God using the gifts God has given you. If you are not using the gifts that God has given you to serve him, how can he say, well done, good and faithful servant, if you're not serving the way he told you to serve? Now, you may say, well, can I serve anyway? And I would say you can, but that's not what you were designed for. If God designed you to encourage people, you need to be encouraging people. If God designed you to teach, you need to be teaching. If he designed you to have a gift of service and giving and mercy, you need to give and have service and serve and have mercy. If he designed you to prophesy, evangelize, whatever it is, you need to do that. You need not to do whatever. Don't do whatever. Do what he called you to do. Because that's when you're going to have the most fruit. That's where you're going to be most efficient. And that's where you're going to be most blessed, because you are operating according to the way God designed you. Have you ever seen someone driving a two-door Mercedes down the street pulling a boat? If someone is ever pulling a boat with a two-door Mercedes, that's dumb. Because that's not what a car was designed for. So my point is this, that God has something for everything. Now we're going to look at two things. The difference between a faithful witness, servant, steward, faithful steward, and a wicked and lazy steward. Say faithful.
Faithful.
Say wicked and lazy.
Wicked and lazy.
Say faithful.
Faithful.
Say wicked and lazy.
Wicked and lazy.
The faithful steward, the good steward, is someone who we're going to see who's taken what God has given him and multiplies it. The wicked, lazy servant has taken the gifts God has given him and buried it in the ground. You can only be one or the other. Can't be both. You're either faithful or you're wicked. There's no in between. There's no like neutral. You're either faithful or you're wicked, lazy. Wicked, lazy. I'll tell you why wicked, lazy in a few minutes. Now, let's look at our notes. Three common things both these servants have in common. One, they've both been entrusted with the same opportunity. God has entrusted every single one of you with an opportunity to serve him. He's given you gifts. He's given you time. He's given you people in your life who need to be the benefit of the gifts he's given you. He's given you the opportunity to pray, read your Bible. He's given you the opportunity to serve him. It's there. So it may not be the same exact opportunity for all of us. He's just giving us all an opportunity. Number two, every single one of us will give an account to God for the stewardship of those talents. Every single one of you is going to stand before God and have to answer for how you use the talents he's given you. There's a thing called the Bema Seat of Christ, the Judgment Seat of Christ. There's many judgments in the Bible. There's a judgment for non-Christians. The devil's going to be judged. Christians are going to be judged. Every single one of you is going to be judged. And what God's going to do after you die, it ain't going to be like, hey, all Christians, come on in, let's have a party. Hey, I'm going to heaven. It ain't going to be like that. It's going to be like this. Excuse me, sir, stop, right? What's your name again? Okay. Leroy. Okay, Leroy. Oh, okay, got your name right here. Okay. Leroy, you got saved on this day. You got given these gifts and talents. You went to this church, and you lived 47 years. Let's run the tape. I want to see what you did with all the opportunities I gave you. I want to see what you did with all the talents I gave you. I want to see what you did with the word of God that you heard. I want to see what you did with all the people I sent your way. I want to see if everything you did, how much of it was by faith and how much of it was by flesh. That's going to be determined for every single one of you and myself as well. So it's not going to be just, and by the way, you're going to be rewarded based on how much was done by faith, and those rewards are going to determine the quality and nature of your worship in heaven, and you're going to have responsibilities in heaven, different responsibilities, and it's going to be based on how faithful you are here. Now, it's all going to be good for you in heaven, but there's going to be a judgment for every single one of us. So it's not like, there is accountability for this life. So the whole idea of accountability, it comes from God, not from the devil. God is an accountable God. He will hold us accountable. So if you're one of those Christians that think, well, I can go to work whenever I want, I can kind of do this whenever I want, and do whatever, you got the wrong concept of God. And Badin will tell you, people in ministry, sometimes I get ministry. I don't know how it is in Russia. But some people get ministry and go, hey, well, I'm in full-time ministry. Now I can just pray and talk about God all day and just read my Bible. And no. It's work. It's work. It's about being organized, knowing what you're supposed to do, and being organized and working according to your gift and not just doing whatever. Because God ain't about a whatever God. He's very specific. He made you one of a kind so he can have a very unique expression of himself through you. He is very detailed. Number three. Both servants will be measured on the same scale. What I mean by that is that if you've been given much, God expects much. To whom much has been given, much will be required. If you've been given little, in other words, you've been given a smaller amount of gifts or a small anointing, he's going to measure you on a scale of that. And he's going to want to see multiplication. So if you look at someone else and you say, well, they've been really gifted a lot, so I don't need to do as much as them, be careful. You don't need to compare yourself to anybody. You just need to know that God is going to see how much you do with what he's given you. And by the way, you may be gifted with a whole lot, and you can do what someone else can do with a whole lot less effort. That doesn't mean you use a whole lot less effort. It means that God's going to require much more from you. And so every single one of us is going to be accountable. Every single one is going to be measured on the same scale. And every single one of us has an opportunity, which means, and basically all that means is that serving Christ is not an option. It's not some good idea somebody came up with. This is Jesus talking. Is all of us are accountable to serve. It doesn't mean be full-time ministry, but it definitely means going to church and listening to a preacher and reading your Bible on your own is not it. He's given you supernatural enablements, supernatural gifts to use to build his kingdom, very specifically. And he's going to hold you accountable to what you do with them. So let's read the story. Chapter 25, verse 14. The kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. To one he gave 5 talents, say 5 talents. To another 2, say 2. To another 1, say 1. To each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. He who had received the 5 talents went and traded and made another 5. Say 100%. Likewise, he who received the 2 gained 2 more. Say 100%. But he who received the 1 dug a hole in the ground and hid his Lord's money. Say 0%. After a long time, the Lord of those accounts came and settled accounts with his servants. He gave this guy 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent. He goes away, and he's going to come back and say, What'd you do with them? What'd you do with them? What'd you do with them? Every single one of you, he's going to do that to. First step, you need to know what the talents are. We have a gifts test. You can go online, rocksandiego.org, or say spiritual gifts test on the left side of our homepage. Click it, take the questions, and it'll tell you your gifts. You can do it today. You have to know what they are. If you don't know what they are, you can't use them. Step number one. And so each one of these, he's one of these guys, says, I know what I gave you, and I'm going to come back and find out what you did. Now, let's read about the good servant. It says in verse 20, he who received the five talents came and brought another five, saying, Lord, you delivered to me five talents. Look, I've gained five more. He said, the Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Look in your notes. Number one says, a good servant possessed fruit that can be measured. A good servant possesses fruit that can be measured. Now, a lot of people have a problem with trying to measure things they do for God. Well, let me first tell you this. God, you can't measure anything without using a number. God is all about measuring stuff. Matter of fact, if you can measure anything without a number, I will take you to dinner. Anything. You can't measure God's love without a number. How do you know God loves you? He died, he sent his son. How many sons did he have?
One.
If God had 1,000 sons, this is a question for you. Let's say he had 1,000. And let's say his 1,000 sons died every day and rose from dead every day, all the time. That wouldn't have been a bigger deal. But John 3:16 said, God loves the world. He gave his one and only son. And he can only die once. The Bible says appointed for a man to die one time and face judgment. His only son died once. How much more love could he have demonstrated? That's how. How do you know your girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife loves you? How many times does he give you flowers? How long are those stems? How many flowers are there? How do you know someone's life changed by the gospel? They used to get high 5 days a week, now they get high once. They're in transition, okay? In transition. And then they get high zero. I went from getting high pretty much regularly every day, and a lot of those days cocaine, to getting high zero. That's how I know. I went from cursing regularly to cursing zero. I went from doing other things to zero. You know what I'm saying? All on the same day. You can measure that. My point is this. If God has given you a gift and you are using that gift, you will be able to see evidence. Now, if you use it properly, you will never be able to count all the evidence because it spreads so fast. People's lives change so rapidly and they help somebody else and it's just a chain reaction. But you will know it happens. When David was going to kill Goliath, Saul said to him, you can't kill Goliath. You're only a man. I mean, a little boy. And Goliath's been a man since he was a boy. That's what the Bible says, by the way. Goliath was a man since he was a boy. How is that? Because ever since he was a boy, he had man responsibility. David says, when a lion came after one of my sheep, took it in its mouth, I killed the lion and took the sheep out of his mouth. When a bear came after one of the sheep, I killed the bear. The Lord delivered me from a lion and a bear. I can kill the giant. He knew God's blessing in his life. He knew he was a warrior. When the Jews walked over the River Jordan into the promised land, we're going to see in a few weeks as we start the book of Joshua. When they walked through the promise, through the Jordan, the River Jordan parted. They walked on dry land. And by the way, let's see a quiz. Abraham had a son named Isaac. Isaac's son was Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to what?
Israel.
How many sons did he have?
One.
That's what I'm talking about. And his 12 sons, when they walked over the River Jordan, the River Jordan parted. My heart blessed so much that y'all know that stuff. And God said, I want one from every tribe to take a stone, 12 stones. and make an altar on the other side so the people remember and have evidence that 12 tribes walked across the river. How many stones did he say to take them?
12.
Not 10, not 11, not 13. 12, one for every tribe. Why? Because I want all y'all to know that every single one of y'all is represented. The number was significant. It's a sign of remembrance. My point is this. If God has blessed you, you should see evidence. You don't have to count it all the time, but at least know it. And know how it works. Now, one of the things that I do is evangelism. That's what God has called me to do. That's what God's gifted me to do. It's not anything good in me, of me. It's from God. So when I go to a evangelistic outreach, I assume, based on God's faithfulness in the past, that people are going to get saved. And there's a range of percentage. If it's a very non-Christian crowd, I pretty much know it's going to be like 30, 50, 70%. So I was at this thing in Pennsylvania, 10 years ago. We had 700 kids. I had spoken to high schools. They had this outreach, and I said, okay, I'm thinking in my mind, a couple hundred kids are going to come forward. That's what I'm thinking. Based on history, you need to know what God has done in your life so you can understand how to plan. So I'm sitting there, and I'm going, okay, y'all got counselors? They said, yeah, we have counselors. I said, how many y'all got? Well, we want to do one-on-one counseling, so we have 35. I was like, brother, so you expect you got 700 kids and you're going to have 35 come forward? That's what you're saying? Yeah. So, no, you don't have enough. My point is this. I could be, oh, I don't want to know, you know, maybe no one will come forward, you know, be all this false humility stuff. No, this is what God called me to do, and this is what God has been done. I killed the lion and the bear. I assume he's going to do the same thing. If God has given you to get them encouragement and you see someone discouraged, you should go over to the confidence that God has given you the ability to encourage them, and you need to encourage them. If God's giving you the ability to teach, you need to go teach. Whatever he's giving you to do, you should do it and know how the gift works. Let me tell you something. If you have the gift of encouragement, you probably also have some kind of sense of discerning how people are discouraged. You probably also have an ear to be a listener. There's a lot of other ancillary talents and abilities that come. It's like getting a computer program and you have all these tools. How many of y'all have computer programs? You don't know how to use the whole thing. You know what I'm saying? You know how to go on, off. VCR. Program VCR. I got to show them my... No, there's no VCR. Now you got TiVo. I like TiVo. How do you do it? Maybe it's easy for you. It's not easy for me. I'm a technician. But he has all these different gadgets. Your gift is the same way. It's infinite. It's infinite. These guys, look what it says. Look what the guy said in verse 21. It says, look, in verse 22, he had received the two talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered me two. I gained two more. They not only knew what they got, they knew what they used it, and they knew the fruit of it. Number two in your notes. Good servants are entrusted with increased responsibility. You're faithful in a little, he'll give you more. Look what it says in verse 22. The Lord of his servant said, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of the Lord. God says, you know what? Because I gave you this and you were faithful with this, let me give you more. If you're faithful with this, I'm going to give you more. You want more responsibility from God? Be faithful with what he's given you. Don't try to strive for more. Just be faithful with what he's given you and it'll come. It'll happen. Number three. You are invited into the joy of the Lord. Look what it says in verse 23. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Y'all remember, and this wasn't long ago for y'all because y'all are young. Y'all remember when y'all were like, when you had your first crush when you were about 8, 10 years old? Anybody have crushes that young? Y'all don't remember. Y'all did. And then you got that pre-prom, sweet 16 crush, high school. Yes? Yes. Is this embarrassing for you to talk about? You're so quiet. So is this like bad memories? Are you going to have a nightmare or something? You're kind of quiet on me, okay? So you had a little crush, you know, and when I move my hands up, it's more intensity, okay? So you had a little crush, then you got high school, junior high, hey, and then you got college, which a lot of y'all at right now. Then you're going to get engaged and get married. So it gets a little more intense, a little more educated, a little more aware of what's going on. When you have a baby, it's a whole nother deal. Oh, you have your little girlfriends, your little wife. When you have a baby, don't be coming in on my baby. It's a whole, you will never know it until it happens. It just can't. It's a whole nother layer of your heart that gets opened. When you serve God and God starts to use you for what you intended for, he says, now I'm going to have you enter into my joy. It's a whole nother deal. It's a whole nother deal. For several reasons, but I'll give you one. Let me read some statistics to you about people in San Diego, people who are sitting right near you. Problems, sin, death, need. God has gifted you to minister to people with need. He has not gifted you for yourself. You have to give them encouragement. He didn't give it to you to encourage yourself. If you don't stand in the mirror going, oh, you're a really good guy and God really loves you and it's going to be okay. And then you go, yeah, I feel better. That's called schizophrenia. That's not how it works. I don't stand at home and go, and the Lord said you need to get them in the ministry and your Lord said you need to do your gifts. I'm like, yeah, that's right. No, I don't, it's not for you. Let me read something to you. 2004, 363 people died in 1 year from drug-related deaths. Now, I'm not going to ask all y'all who've been drunk or high or intoxicated or under any influence of any intoxication, chemical, illicit, ex-drug activity to raise your hand. But y'all know who you are. Amen? Amen. Y'all who have been hungover know who you are. Amen? You know what's funny? It's like people in church, like, I got to be honest, but I don't want to say it. I can't lie, so amen. Okay, God, I didn't lie, okay, but I didn't want to give myself up. I know people who've been addicted 10, 20 years on heroin, on cocaine, crystal methamphetamine, alcoholics for decades, and they still live. When you see people who are had drugs have run them down and or they're very much overweight, which is also a taxing on the body, and see their body just last for so long. My point is this. Your body can take a lot. It's not an excuse to abuse it. My whole point is this, that in 2004, every day, other than 2 days, someone died from drugs. Do you know how bad they had to be abusing their body? Every day. Every single day in a whole year. 316 people killed themselves almost every day. A whole other group. 145 homicides every third day. 145 homicides. 21,000 causes of domestic violence. 21,000. It's like 70 or 60 something a day. San Diego. 1,000 cases of physical child abuse, 521 cases of sexual abuse, 2,600 cases of general child abuse. Those are the ones that were reported in a year. These people are sitting around you. Let me talk about divorce, even though a lot of y'all ain't married. November and December, the last 2 months of the year, the lowest numbers of divorce are recorded. January, February, highest numbers of divorce. They get through the holidays. Get the presents, all that kind of, hook all that up. And Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. I want a divorce. It's true. We are right now in the middle of divorce season. The height, right now. This is happening right now. Let me talk about sexually transmitted STDs. Since y'all are so wild. Chlamydia, San Diego, cases, 130,000. 11,520. California, 130,000. This is in 1 year. Gonorrhea, 2,600 cases. San Diego, syphilis, 448 cases. Why am I telling you this? Drugs, alcohol abuse, 55% of people between 18 and 25. Binge drinking, 35%. Illicit drug use, 19%. Marijuana, 27% of 18 to 25-year-olds. My point is this. People want to throw away their life. You know what the devil says? I have you killed. I can have you kill yourself. I can get you addicted to drugs. I can give you a disease. How you want to die? How you want to ruin your life? That's reality. Okay? Then God says, I got my people over here. I got my people who have to give them encouragement, teaching, mercy, compassion, giving, leadership. And I want these people to minister to these people. But yet some of these people are wicked and lazy. Wicked because they're withholding a blessing for these people, and lazy because they're too lazy to figure out what they got and go about doing it. So why should these people be kept alive? Why? If God gave you that for that reason, why should he keep you alive if you don't want to use it? Can you answer that question? You need to think about that. I hope you're not like, well, I'm a nice guy. Well, God made you nice. You're going to die anyway. Think about it. He made you for that reason. So he tells in the story, the good servant, they know what I gave them. They're over there using it, and they're watching it happen. They're students of what I made them. You know, one of the great things about sports is that you see people hone in on a skill and use it. Tiger won again today, 7 in a row. If all y'all don't play golf, you have no idea how ridiculous what he does is. But think about it. The brother's one of the most well-known athletes on the planet, and all he does is hit a little white ball. Now, I'm not saying all he does like it's no big deal, because I'm a very amateur golf player. It is hard. But what I'm telling you is that what God has given you to change someone's life is a whole lot more significant in the scope of life. Amen. And yet that brother takes that so serious. Why can't we take God that serious? And what we have is the whole purpose, the hope of the world. There is no hope outside the gospel of the world. None. You can make people happy and smile with entertainment, but it don't get them to heaven. They'll still go to hell. They'll just be smiling until they get there. Let's look at our notes. Matter of fact, let me read some ministry to you. Here's the people who are waiting for you down the hall right now. They're waiting for you. Altar call ministry, 330 people. Do we need 330 people? Absolutely. Our new place. We get the keys to our new building in 6 months from this weekend. And within about 2 to 3 weeks after that, we're going to have church. We're talking about August 07 this year. And we have a whole lot more rooms. We have 5 different levels of seating where people all over. And we need people to be altar call counselors. Children ministry. The children's ministry, preschool age has 13 classrooms alone. They're going to be able to have 1,000 kids per service. And we're still going to have 4 to 5 services to start. We're going to have a bigger place, but we may cut out maybe 2 services. I think. Student ministries. They need 100 people. They're looking for 100 volunteers to minister to high school and junior high kids. Parking. We have 1 lot or 2. We have 6 or 7 lots over there. NTC, we're moving, is 365 acres. We have 6 acres on 365. There's 800 homes, a 46-acre park, 2 hotels, a retail center with Starbucks and Trader Joe's, blah, blah. There's office buildings, schools, cultural center, 5,100 parking spaces. Well, we all share the parking. There's like 6 and 7 exits onto this property. We need dozens. Well, how many do you need? Parking. 100. And I know it's more than that. Going to be, we go over there, parking people. Think about it. You get to do this. How many of y'all want to do that? And you get a yellow vest. That's what I'm talking about. Prayer. Production. We need people in production. Sound, light, video. See those screens right there? We're not going to have screens. What? What? Say it again, girl. Say it. Say what? What? All the ladies in the house say what?
What?
Okay, see if you can say this, ladies. Say what? That could be a song. We're going to make up a new song. What? The guy that's consulting us on a video and all that kind of stuff, he does a lot of secular stuff, like the Emmys and the Grammys and you know, the NFL Network. He designed and built that whole studio. So he's out there. He says to me, you don't want to have two screens like everybody else. It's boring. And you don't seem like a boring kind of guy. That's right. I'm not a boring kind of guy. Talk to me, brother. So he's trying to explain it to me. And I said, look, I want you, this was last year, about this time, because it was like the week before the Grammys. He says, I want you to watch the Grammys. And then you will know what I'm talking about. So I'm not going to tell you what it is. I don't know what the Grammys, this was last year. I don't know what the Grammys are going to do this year. But it will not be two rectangular screens. Just know it's going to be better. It's going to be moving. Rock Pile. Our Rock Pile bookstore is going to be 6,000 square feet. With a Starbucks little star. It's not Starbucks. It's Starbucky type thing. Security. For all y'all who know, we have security issues. Y'all seen it? People run up and down the aisle. A guy came up the aisle one day and threw a football at me during service while I was preaching. He came up the aisle, yelled at me, and threw a football at me during sermon. Were y'all here that day? Yeah, it was crazy. I caught it, put it down, kept going. And we had, you know, had to keep the flow moving. But we need security. Dudes are going, got a visual. If you're in law enforcement, military, male and female, you can be, you know, security, you could be administrative. We need y'all. If you're an ex-gang member, you've been to prison, we need you in security. This is a true story. Miles Ahead Crusade, 4th of July last year, we had all these kids at POD and Kirk Franklin at the Corps Amphitheater, all these kids at the stage dancing, having fun, and some were getting a little out of control. But, you know, it's the kids, right? So getting out of control, no problem. And one of our security guys, he looks like he hurt you because he comes from that lifestyle, okay? He's not law enforcement. He's the other side of the law. And so this is a true story. So he's standing there, you know, tattooed, blah, 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 and he's standing there. And, you know, like I said, you look at him, you just know. And so these kids down there getting all crazy, you know, acting crazy. And he just did this. He went. That was it. I mean, the dude wasn't like, what? He was like, praise the Lord. I mean, it's just like, you know, so if you, and I'm dead serious, if you come from a background where, you know, you had that and you want to do something with all that, we got something for you. Hospitality. We need people to hospitalize people. Worship. We need people to do worship. Boot camp. You like discipleship? You got to give the teaching, whatever. We need you to go to boot camp to help us disciple the people in the church. Marriage and family. This may not be for y'all because y'all are still on the young end of this. But if you've been married for a while, we want to set up people to mentor young engaged couples. So when you youngins get engaged, what do y'all know about marriage? Nothing. I get married. I get to sleep with the same girl every night, and it's legal. I mean, pretty much, that's what you know. Because you've never been there. So what happens is you get people who've been married who will mentor you through some curriculum, hang out with you, and help you understand what marriage is all about. My wife and I did it when I was a youth pastor 20 years ago to teenagers. Teenagers were in our group. They were dating. We would go out with them and mentor them in their relationship. We are now going to do this for a couple here in the church. And what's so great about this couple, they didn't start out at this church. I met them in the gym. They weren't even dating at the time. And then they got together. They started coming to church. Now they're coming to church and they're engaged. So we're going to walk with them. Let me tell you something. please don't take this wrong, but you, until you've been married, you have no idea. But if you can get address some of these issues up front, it'll save your marriage. You do not want to go through divorce. You do not, especially with kids. You do not. So what a great mystery. Miles Ahead and Miles Ahead Mentoring. We have a relationship. Miles Ahead Ministries, we have a relationship with the county supervisors, board of county supervisors, to provide Christian mentors to secular organizations. Juvenile court judge goes to the Rock. We're going to provide mentors for the kids in this court from church. They're like, let's go. 500 a year. That's what we want to, that's our goal, 500 a year. Small groups. You're going to, we need, it says 400, we need 300 more small group facilitators. Open up your home. Have a small group in your house. I can't find a small group. Start one. We'll send them to your house. I don't want them in my house. You can, never can make you happy. Teen trafficking. As I told you before, there are people who kidnap kids from all over the world. They bring them to Tijuana. They bring them across the border. And they are sold into slavery as sex slaves. Either to be owned by one individual or they're prostitutes on the street here in San Diego. A ministry has started in the last 90 days or however long they've been praying about this, as we mentioned it, in the last year. Now the ministry's up and running. You want a cause? Go help these kids that are your age and younger, that are prostitutes, and they're being forced. They're younger than you. They're prostitutes. They're being forced because they were kidnapped. Can you imagine? Girls, can you imagine someone taking you and making you a prostitute in a foreign city? No, that is hell. And they're right down the street. And you drive by them all the time. Don't even know it. Well, we can know it. You can know what this information is knowable. We know it. And we can help them. You can pray for them. You can go out there and minister to them. And let me tell you something. You save someone from that? JC's girls. These women are former, well, the women who started this ministry are former strippers, and they go to strip clubs and minister to girls in strip clubs, actually buy time with the girls, minister to them, and they have a Bible study with 20 or 30 women, and they're bringing these women to church. And we are so honored that they're coming to church. This is a woman's only ministry. I'll just end right there. But ladies, go help. Go help them. Helping hands. And by the way, some of you ladies, everybody's different. Some of you ladies, you are more adventurous and brave than others. This may be the thing for you. Because it is a very cutthroat environment. And so maybe God gave you your little attitude for a reason. Helping Hands Ministry. These guys are going to, and women are going to help be handymen in people's houses. Hip Hop Ministry. This hip hop group, this guy danced professionally, and they performed for us at our staff Christmas party. They were good. So if you want to learn how to do hip hop, just join the hip hop ministry. Soccer Ministry. Foster Youth. Deaf Foster Home, Homeless Ministry, Rock Recovery. Rock Recovery is people in addiction. Foster Youth is mentor. You want to mentor youth? There's 7,500 kids in foster care. And the young lady here at the church, her goal is to get a mentor for every single one of 7,500 kids. And she's serious. She's serious. She tells me what to do. I'm like, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry. Yes, ma'am. Rock Recovery. You got an addiction? Rock Recovery can help you. Or if you are a personal trainer, you want to go work these people out. They live in a home. We have a home where they live 24 hours a day, and they're getting ready to get another home. If you're a counselor, go provide counseling for them. If you got to get them encouragement, go help them. There's people there from all, these are not necessarily people from the church, they're people from the city, but they come to a Christian environment. They have Bible study. It's all Christian-based. They come to church at 8 o'clock service. They go to AA meetings as well, but their higher power is Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ from the Bible. So they know what's going on. Convalescent homes. People ministering convalescent homes 6 days a week. People getting saved in convalescent homes, disabilities ministry, TJ house building, prison ministries, missions, a whole bunch of sports ministries. All these ministries are down the end of this building waiting for you now. So I'm going to let you out here in a few minutes, and I want to challenge you to go down and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Okay, let's talk about the wicked servant, then we're going to end. A few things about the wicked servant. You do not want to be the wicked servant. Let's look at our notes. Four things, and then we'll read it. Number one, the wicked servant knowingly buried their talents in the ground. Wicked servants knowingly bury their talents in the ground. Wicked servants are aware of their talents being from God. You know that God gave it to you. Wicked servants have a harsh view of God. And wicked servants over time will lose their opportunities to know and serve God. Everyone say wicked and lazy. You do not want to be wicked and lazy. You don't have to be wicked and lazy. Let's read verse 24. He who had received the one talent came and cried out and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. I was afraid, went and hid my talent in the ground. There you have what is yours. You know what he said? God, I knew that you expected multiplication and growth because I knew what you gave me has ability to grow. I know that. So what I did, because I feared you, is I took what you had and I buried it in the ground. So here's back what belongs to you, just how you gave it to me. He knew what he was doing. Now, one, there was no reason for you to be scared of God. What is God going to do to you? Think about it. If you've been disobedient and hasn't killed you, how much more is he going to love you when you're obedient? He's not going to do anything bad to you. Well, what if I fail? What does that mean? You know what failure is in the kingdom of God? Failure is disobedience. It is not my job. I don't fail if I share the gospel and no one gets saved. That's God's job. I fail if I don't share it. That's what I do. And I'm telling you that the gifts you have can affect people beyond what you can imagine. There are people who don't go to church because they can't read. They don't not go to church because they can't get there. They don't not go to church because they don't know anybody. I'm talking about this specific group. They don't go to church because they can't read and they're worried that they're going to have to read. So they avoid being in a situation where they can't read. Well, guess what would happen if you taught them how to read? They would go to church. I was on the beach the other Friday. I was running on the beach and I was just finishing. And it was right by the pier in PB. And I was walking along I just finished and I was walking along the beach. I see this guy walking at me and I perceived that he was homeless and that he just woke up. He was walking, throwing a rock up in the air, you know, just kind of. And I was looking at him going, okay, I'm going to talk to this guy. So as he got closer, I kept staring at him. And as soon as we got close enough to make eye contact, I said, do I know you? Which kind of like my line. Sometimes people go, well, you know, they're wondering, man, do I know this guy? Sometimes I say no, and I say, hey, well, what's your name? My name is Miles, blah, and then we talk. Or sometimes I say, yeah, and then, of course, we talk. So either way, I talk to him, that's the whole goal anyway. So I said, hey, do I know you? He goes, no. So we started talking, and, you know, he was talking about his thing, you know, he's just what he's doing, and so, you know, whatever. And the more I talked to him, the more I was more convinced that he just woke up. And I said, then where are you going? He says, well, I'm going over there. We're literally, if you know PB Pier, there's a pier, and then just north of it is these steps that come down, like a football field length away. We were right around there. So he says, I'm going over to the pier to see what's going on. I go, ain't nothing going on in the pier. What's under the pier? Nothing. There was nobody there. So I said, so where are you going? I'm going over there to see what's happening. I go, there ain't nothing happening. So I said to him, let's go to breakfast. He goes, no, I'm good. I'm thinking in my mind, brother, you just woke up. You just woke up. He didn't say, I just ate. You had some pancakes. Yeah. He didn't say that. He just said, I'm good. So I'm thinking, so then you know, a minute go by, I said, so where are you going? I'm just going over there. I'm going, ain't nothing over there. Come on to breakfast. breakfast. I'm good. I do not believe that he did not go to breakfast because he wasn't hungry. I don't believe that. I believe it was something else. My point is, sometimes you don't know what that something else is, but you just do what you're supposed to do. And some of y'all who have to give them encouragement, you need to encourage people. You have to give a teaching, you need to teach people. You have to get the mercy, giving, leadership. You need to use that. And just you and figure out how you can use it in a systematic way and learn how it works. Because there are people you're going to touch over here, it's going to affect them over here. You're going to liberate people in ways you have no idea how it's going to open up to really bless their life. You have no idea. And so the wicked servant, he says, I'm taking what you give me and I am deliberately, knowing it has potential, I'm going to put it in the ground, and when you come back, I'm going to give it to you. You know what God's saying in this parable? That is not acceptable. That's exactly what he's telling us. That is not acceptable. You are wicked and lazy if you do that. Don't do that. Now, I'm not saying that if you don't go walk down there and sign up that you're wicked and lazy. Jesus is saying that. No, I'm kidding. I'm not saying that if you don't go walk down there and sign up for ministry, you're wicked and lazy. I'm saying this, though. That the Bible's telling us that if you don't use your gifts according to the way God has called you, somewhere you're wicked lazy. And don't accept this as your answer. Well, I just do it wherever. Wherever don't work. God is very, very organized. And God has a very, very efficient plan for you to be very productive. Ephesians 2:10 says we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do works that he's already prepared for us in advance. That he has gifts, talents, and opportunities for you. And I would challenge you, what am I supposed to be doing? Who am I supposed to be helping? And don't let anyone drag you into doing something that is not your gift, because it will do you no good. People try to drag me to do stuff I'm not gifted to do. They think I'm too good or whatever. No, it's not that I'm too good. It's just I'm not good enough. That's not what God called me to do. And I don't want to make your life miserable, and I don't want to be miserable. If you're called to teach, teach. If you're called to give, give. If you're called to lead, lead. You're called to organize, called to discern, do that really well. And the body of Christ will work. It'll work. So let's, as we end, let's take this thing out real quick. I was, have y'all heard of Robert Schuller? Has anybody never heard of the Crystal Cathedral, Robert Schuller? Raise your hand if you haven't heard that. He's on TV. It's the kind of church you probably wouldn't, it's robes and organs and, you know, he's been doing ministry for 50 years. And he's 80 years old. He's on TV all around the world. And he's right up in Anaheim, Orange County. And I happened to meet him the other day for the first time. And we were sitting there talking, and it was so funny because I was telling him about the church, and he kept looking at me going, so tell me how this works and why do these people come? He's just fascinated by all these young people coming to church. And you teach the Bible and you, and I said, yeah. I said, he says, how do you decide what to teach? I said, well, I'm going through the Bible. He was like, you're going through the Bible? He goes, send me Leviticus, thinking it was a joke. Thinking like, you didn't teach Leviticus. I said, yeah, I taught it. It's called Holify. He goes, what does that mean? And I said, I did a series called Who's Your Daddy? He goes, what does that mean? I go, well, he's 80. He's your dad. So we're having this conversation. It's a very fascinating, very, very, very sweet. Him and his wife are just sweet people. He says to me, what is the purpose of your church? Why does your church exist? Save, equip, send. Want to make soul winners out of people. That's why we exist. You need to be part of that process. And so what this is going to be, this is something we're going to read. You'll sign this on your own. We're not going to sign it together unless you want to sign it now. I don't want to put any prayer pressure on you. I want you to do this because you want it. But we're about here making soul winners. And if all of us use our gifts together, we will so win to unbelievable proportions. There's 3.1 million people in San Diego, give or take. That's a number. We know what it is. We know where they live. We know how they live. We know what neighborhoods, where the crime rates are. We know all that. It's, when I say we know it, it's all knowable information. And there's no reason why we shouldn't take that information and use it to our advantage to build the kingdom of God versus just doing whatever. Are you following me? And every single one of you has a very specific peg that you fit where you can experience the joy of the Lord. Really. So let's read this together. On three, let's read starting at last will and testament. Three, last will and testament. Wait a minute, I gotta put my glasses on. I'm sorry. I can last read the big letters. Let's start over. On three. Three, last will and testament. I accept the responsibility to be a good steward of the resources God has entrusted to me to build his kingdom. I, whatever your name is, vow to invest all my talents, both spiritual and natural, bearing a level of fruit that is pleasing to God, that I may hear him say, well done, a good and faithful servant. All it is, look, you know what, God? The one thing that's going to have God say, well done, a good and faithful servant, you know what he's going to say to you? You figured out what I made you to be, and you worked at it. Yeah, you prayed a prayer one day because you were desperate and you just kind of went through the motions. Don't be that person. God is going to hold you accountable. I live with that reality every day. I think about it every day. It's a reality. And it is a good reality. It's nothing to be scared about. It's nothing to put pressure on you. But it's also to make you aware. And what's going to happen is, and I'll tell you this last story. You know when you go on a roller coaster? How many of you like roller coasters? Okay. Live it with me. You get in, click, and you can feel it. Especially, I love getting a roller coaster car with young people because they're like, ha, and you can just feel it. And then it goes, and then it goes, click. The best one I was ever on was at a place in Virginia called King's Dominion. What's that with the volcano one? It's called Volcano. You get in there, your feet are hanging, and you click in like you take your shoes off. Your feet are hanging, and it does this, and it goes in, click, 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 and then it goes in a tunnel. It's pitch black. You're the lava. And it goes in and stops, and it's pitch black. Everyone's going, it's not even moving yet. This thing is the bomb. And then it goes, boosh, and you goes, boom, right through the tunnel. And you're going up pitch black, and you come out, and it was at night anyway, so it was even extra dark. And you come out the other side, and you do all this stuff. But just imagine the convention one. You know what I'm talking about? And you go, you start to see the whole park, you're out there up high. And then when it gets to the top, people start screaming. Because you know. You can't get out. And if you're in with the good people, it's a whole lot, because everyone, you bond in that 90 seconds, you bond with those people. Click, 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 click. And right before it happens. Now, you don't know what's going to happen, but you know it's going to be the bomb. Right? And then it drops. And if you really, y'all do this? Oh, yes. Front seat? Oh, yes. And here's the funny thing about, roller coasters, that people get on there and they just scream. They don't, it doesn't matter if it's like going up or down. They just, the whole time, and then when it ends, they go, And then they get out. And they stand in line again and do it again. You know what God says? When you walk out that door, you start walking down there. Click, 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 click. I'm telling you gospel. When you start to use what God's given you, you're going to be amazed. You're going to be amazed. Go home and take the gifts test. This young lady came to me right at the last service. She says, I have the gift of perceiver and prophecy. What does that mean? She was like, I'm so excited. Am I going to be la 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 la? Go find out. Let's pray for you.
Lord, I thank you that someone told me that you love me and someone challenged me to accept you as my Savior. I would not be married. I would not be happy. I would not be fulfilled. I don't know where I will be living now or what I'd be chasing, but it wouldn't be this good. And I pray that everyone sitting in their seat would just enjoy the adventure of discovering who they are, and that you would even give them ideas for their own ministries that they would start. Thank you for all the people who were 75, 200 feet away waiting, who've been faithfully serving. Thank you for their faithfulness. Thank you for being good to us. And I pray that everybody here would discover something new about themselves and be excited to see it blossom into something. And I pray when they see someone's life change because of their faithfulness, they will be blessed and they would want to do it again. Thank you for being good to us. Thank you so much for making us the way you have, that when we do find it, it is the most exciting thing in our life, without question. Thank you. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen. Left, left. Amen.